reading from Hosea should be difficult for us. God and Jesus' call to us seem distant at times, as well as difficult to fully appreciate what we are to do, considering our affluence. One of the many reasons the church is declining in America is because the church, this is Gary's opinion, of course, does not do a very good job helping us understand our influence with our affluence. Like so many of the prophets, Hosea lived during a time of chaos and upheaval. The northern kingdom, Israel, and the southern kingdom, Judah, had just split. Egypt and Assyria were bearing down, and God's people were backsliding, following other gods and breaking commandments left and right. God and Hosea agreed. This was no time for a soft-spoken call to straighten up. Hosea asks us, how are we rich towards God? And so Hosea speaks to us today through the relationship of children and their parents. Hosea tells Israel that she has forgotten her story. It's been too long since she's opened up the family photo album, lingered over her tiny footprints, touched the fine locks of hair that fell to the floor after that first haircut. It's been too long since she's remembered who she really is. Israel has forgotten her birth narrative, and this memory lapse has landed her back in bondage. And this time, the slavery is as spiritual as it is tangible. So God sets up the projector, dims the lights, and through Hosea begins to narrate the sequence of images. I remember the day you were born. I groaned and ached and cried out. I remember the Red Sea water breaking. I remember the pains of labor as if the whole world was ripping apart. But then I caught you in my arms and I fell madly in love. I taught you how to walk. I picked you up when you fell, pressed your cheek against mine. When you cried out, I fed you. Like a mother bird, I fed you. Like a good physician, I healed you. Don't you remember? Hosea tells Israel and is telling us today that we have forgotten to be rich towards God. And far too often, we don't remember. A Methodist classmate of mine is a pastor here in North Carolina and shared with me the chaos and upheaval some years ago that almost split her church and over the color of carpet in the ladies' parlor. On the night of the vote, the northern kingdom, the maroon camp, wouldn't speak to the southern kingdom, the forest green camp. And the moderator called for a secret ballot, the first in 75 years. And while they were voting, thousands of Haitians departed their homes, tents actually, to wade through wreckage to attend a worship service outdoors and conduct a national day of mourning. They lifted up their hands and their voices to remember the thousands of people buried in mass graves without a funeral, without flowers, without anyone sharing God's proclamation of resurrection for the body and the newness of life. And my colleague called me a few days later. With all the congregational drama, she had forgotten to pray for her brothers and sisters in Haiti. She was angry with herself and with her people, worshiping the carpet as if it were Baal. They didn't remember. They did nothing to soothe the pain or to help put back together the brokenness of the world. In the face of our self-centered amnesia, Hosea's tone shifts markedly. And God declares the unthinkable. They shall return to the land of Egypt because they have refused to return to me. Their loving God sends them back to bondage. So what do we need as followers of God to return to God? After the events of the last 7 days in America, 4 mass killings, 34 dead, triple that amount injured, disabled, scarred for life, unbearable pain for families and friends and lovers, and for us as well. Some of them will be unable to cope in the years ahead and will act out in destructive ways, either to themselves or to others, quite possibly both. Yes, I know freedom is not free. Yes, we have the Second Amendment. Yes, we have our independence and our rights. But in the end, where the rubber meets the road, we can't claim to be a God-fearing nation when it strengthens our argument and ignore God and what God wants from us when it is uncomfortable. I just can't imagine what it was like going to bed last night or waking up this morning in Dayton, in El Paso, in Gilroy, or South Haven. I, for one, cannot. All I know is that I'm hurting. I'm scared. I want this to stop. In El Paso, a woman was quoted as saying, "What hit me the hardest was being called a victim because I didn't realize we were victims in the whole thing." But that's what we are. People don't realize that what they're doing is hurting all of us. It's sad that my babies are growing up in this world. I hate it. I hate living like this. All of us are beloved children of God. God calls us to change the unjust things of this world. God did not put us here on this earth just to use up oxygen. We are tasked with working to end the suffering of the world. And so what I realized over the last 12 hours or so is that after serving for 31 years, learning to fight and destroy our enemies, I have finally come to that place. That belief that gun violence has no place in this society that we often call just. And I don't know the answer, but I believe that it is time for all of us to seek an answer. Won't you join me?